Hello, welcome back. Episode number 13. And the book continues. There are about five chapters left, I think. Five short chapters left. So if those of you that have had enough of listening to the book and want to know when some real chat is coming back, probably about five more. So just over 2 weeks, I guess, because I'm doing 2 a week. But this one is called The Benefits of Exercise in Regards to Fat Loss. So, you know, maybe a slightly more of a different sort of chapter more than anything, I guess, rather than the quite food and sort of nutrition-y type ones that we've been having so far. So I will get straight on with it. So far, we have covered lots on nutrition, the calories, the optimal ways to eat, and where exactly you could be going wrong. Now we move on to exercise. You might be thinking, why is it taking this long to get into exercise? Surely that's the first thing you should cover. To lose weight and body fat, you must exercise, surely. Well, no, not entirely true, but it can be massively advantageous. As we have discussed before and has been hammered home consistently through the previous chapters, that it might actually be beginning to sink in. In order to lose body fat, you must be in a caloric deficit. The energy out part of the equation must be greater than the energy in. This is where exercise can play a huge part. You could and can, however, lose body fat without any added exercise. Your calorie intake would have to be significantly lower to counteract the reduction of the calorie output that you would be, that you would get by doing no exercise. The process will be a lot slower and a whole lot tougher. Trust me when I say this, adding exercise into your daily routine and lifestyle is a big positive, both physically and mentally. Not having time is no longer your excuse. You have picked up this book, which means you are in a good state mentally to begin. Half an hour a day, either in your lunch hour, in the evening, early morning, there is time. Referring back to the total daily energy expenditure chapter, you remember that there are four parts that make up your energy out for the day. Basal metabolic rate, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, thermic effect of food, and exercise. Exercise activity thermogenesis is where your daily exercise comes into play. Remember, every time your body moves, muscles contract and energy is expended. So it makes logical sense that if you exercise and increase the amount your body is moving, how hard you're making it work by contracting more muscles more often, that you'll expend more calories than someone who is not exercising. This is just the first benefit of exercise. You've completed your exercise for the day, burned some extra calories, adding to your calorie deficit. What your body now needs to do is recover and get itself back to a homeostatic state, meaning balanced. There are all manner of ways and functions it does this, such as replenishing glycogen stores, repairing minute muscle fibre tears, and bringing heart rate and breathing rate down. All these contribute to expending more calories. How large a contribution all this makes to your calorie expenditure depends on the type of exercise you are doing, the duration of the exercise, and the intensity of the exercise. A quick point to cover here, there is limited and unsubstantiated research that shows any validity in the time of day you exercise or whether you are exercising in a fasted, unfed state. Any research that has attempted to show any positives or negatives, the findings have been negligible. The main focus, instead of worrying about the best time to exercise in correlation to your circadian rhythm, is to purely just exercise. Getting some extra exercise and movement where possible, not just for the calorie expenditure benefits, but also for the health benefits. Lowering of resting heart rate, lowering of blood pressure, increasing VO2 max, reducing the possibilities of any disease or condition, which has been closely related to high body fat. The benefits of exercise go far beyond that of just burning some extra calories. From a hormonal standpoint, the increase in endorphin release and lowering of stress, anxiety and depression plays a huge role in the improvement of your mindset. Just get it done. Some of you will have heard, some of you maybe not, that resistance training burns more calories. This is both true and false. Cool, thanks for that. You are now saying, so which is it? I will get onto it, but trust me when I say it is a big benefit. What is resistance training? Resistance training is any type of exercise where you put your muscles under tension and or load. This could either be traditional bodybuilding style training in the gym, completing sets and reps using machines and free weights. This could be circuit-based training using different types of equipment to add resistance to the exercise. It could be bodyweight training. Doing a press-up is a great resistance exercise for the upper body, in particular the chest, triceps and shoulders. You could even stretch it out as far as saying running and cycling is a form of resistance training, although the main goal of running and cycling isn't to develop and or build muscle. Running, according to the research, has shown to put 3 times body weight forces through the leg muscles on the foot strike, similar to cycling. Using leg muscles to force around the pedals adds resistance, especially when cycling uphill. Thinking of resistance training in terms of the duration of the session, cardiovascular-based exercises, for example, swimming, running and cycling, will on the whole burn more calories. This does depend on the duration and the intensity of the sessions. Some circuit-based classes and gym-based sessions can get pretty close. But generally speaking, 30 minutes of running will burn more calories than 30 minutes of machine-based resistance training. However, the magic happens in the aftermath. Not only will the body need to recover and repair from resistance training, the time and effort this takes depends purely on the intensity of the session. The development and growing, not necessarily turning into the next pro bodybuilder, of muscles will have a positive effect on your BMR. Remember that your basal metabolic rate is the rate at which your body expends calories. If it did absolutely nothing, an individual with a greater lean body mass will burn more calories. To put that into an example, both lean body tissue and fat mass tissue require and use calories during daily function. Take two individuals. Person A, total body weight 80 kilos, lean body mass of 60 kilos and a fat mass of 20. Person B, total body weight of 80 kilos, a lean body mass of 50 and fat mass of 30. Which person do you think will have a higher basal metabolic rate? Both individuals weigh the same. The correct answer is indeed person A, who although is exactly the same weight as person B, person A has 10 kilograms more lean body mass and as such 10 kilograms less of fat mass. Person A will be burning more calories due to requirements required to maintain that extra 10 kilograms of lean mass in comparison. Before we move on, I must state this does not mean you have to turn into a bodybuilder. Far from it. Most of the general population, in particular females, begin exercise with the goal of toning up. What this actually means is that they want to develop muscle and reduce body fat. Without the development of muscle, a continuation of reducing body fat would eventually just lead to a figure of skin and bones. And I'm sure most will agree that this is not the look people are after. And can now see where the development of muscle comes in and is important with regard to desired body image. I'm not saying we should all strive to have a six-pack stomach and ripped arms. We follow the changes in the lifestyle, diet and exercise until we are happy and comfortable with the way we look. And following a lifestyle we can enjoy and maintain. The psychology of exercise. I'm a very big believer that positivity breeds positivity. I think it goes without saying that if you are following an exercise regime, whether that is your own program, a group class program, or a running club or similar, when you exercise regularly, you also think more positively about your nutrition and vice versa. When you are eating well, you tend to stick to an exercise program more successfully. As far as I know, there isn't any research that shows any correlation between the two. But from my experience, I've seen it, heard it, and I'm sure you have experienced it too. The two fit hand in hand. Why is this? Eating well puts your body in a good state, good nutrients, no bloating, correct body function, and a good mindset. Exercise puts your body in a good state, energised, good hormonal balance, good body function, and of course, a good mindset. One promotes the other. And that is the end of that chapter. A really good one, actually. And everything in there I still say now. Go to the gym. Resistance training, really important. Really good for preventing conditions. All right, really good for developing some muscle, helping increase that basal metabolic rate, which in turn can help reduce body fat over time. And it is, again, that goal of toning up. And actually what we mean by toning up is reducing body fat and developing a little bit of muscle to be the healthiest individual that we can be. Right, I'll hold it there. Once again, thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next one.